Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we are the Midday Show with Rick and John, and our Midday Party starts now. Shout out to the Morning Show, man. Another fantastic job by them, and now it's our turn. And we do have a big, big show planned for you. Now, John, I got to start this show with a little tale to tell about our trip to Chick-fil-A a moment ago. Move over, Dr. Oz. Move over, Dr. Phil. And move over, Dr. Ruth. Yeah, you remember her? This morning, I had a proud Dr. Kamala moment, John, and you were there. Brianna, who is just a lovely, fantastic human being who works at Chick-fil-A downstairs here at Colony Square. Yesterday, she was complaining to me about allergies. And, oh, my nose is running, my allergies are back. And I said, ding, I've got the solution. I am going to change your life, young lady. And I said, go to the pharmacy at Publix or Kroger and get Zyrtec D. Because she said she was doing Zyrtec. And I'm like, it's not enough. You got to get Zyrtec D. It's a two-pronged approach. Trust me. And she went and got Zyrtec D. We saw her today. She's symptom-free. Big smile on her face. Giving us free sodas. It's unbelievable. So Dr. Kamala is officially in the house.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's awesome. Our buddy Devin down there, it's her last day. A lot of people...
Stop it.
Yeah, it's her last day.
Does that jeopardize our free soda thing going on?
What free soda? I don't know what you're talking about. Pay for everything I get down there.
Good, yeah, me too.
Chick-fil-A.
I've got all the receipts, too.
I do. Before we do that, and Devin, shout out to her. She's moving on to bigger and better things. We're going to miss her. Justin was down there. Tamika, all the people we knew have moved on from our Chick-fil-A downstairs, and we'll get a new group, and we'll get to know them pretty well. I got to throw Hugh under the bus.
What for?
Well, because the computer screen is left open. I just want to go through some of the things that are up on Hugh's screen. First one, Sports Illustrated, most watchable bowl games. Okay. Work-related. Second thing, one-day sale only. Hugo Boss, Tonic Eau de Toilette Spray.
He's trying to get maybe some Christmas presents.
Number three.
During his breaks.
Big Bad Toy Store, Power of the Primes. I don't know if he's buying some Transformers stuff.
Again, Christmas presents.
He then has Tom Savage stats up. Nothing wrong with that.
I don't know why he would do that.
I don't know. Then you move over to...
I really hope you say Pinterest.
Oh, no.
Best holiday recipes, please.
The last one will take the cake. Then you move over. He's got Amazon up. There's some other, I'm assuming this is whiskey glasses or tumblers or something.
Christmas presents.
Then
for,
you go
for
over.
For Frat Brothers, yep, probably.
You go over. He's got toywiz.com up, which has got some more toys sitting up there. And then the last one, this is the greatest one. Lithuanian women.
You're damn right.
You, we love you, man. Now, most of those browser windows that are open are legit because the Hughes World today, John, was gifts for dad.
Okay.
Like, if you don't have a lot of money and you want to get cheap gifts for your dad, then so that's what he was doing there. I can't explain the Lithuanian women thing. Maybe he was thinking what might be available for LiAngelo and LaMelo.
Maybe.
Over there in Lithuania. I don't know.
Hugh just peeked his head in there. Yeah, we got you, Hugh.
We love Hugh Douglas, man.
Yeah, we got you. Lithuanian women, really? That's where you were going with this morning?
Hey, unless your name is Michael Smith,
he's in here.
Hugh Douglas is just a big giant teddy bear.
He's trying to defend himself in here. See, we were talking about Lithuanian women on the show. So, and no, it's one of the kids that the Ball Brothers are going to go after. So, I wanted to see what they look like. Good try, Hugh.
Hugh, Eastern Bloc women are my type, for sure. Okay, I'll just say that. I'm not mad at Lithuanian women.
You got to love that a former NFL player just has that soft side to him. Because Hugh Douglas has that gentle giant side. Now, he's a guy I don't want to get on the wrong side.
Nope.
Like Michael Smith did. I don't want to be on that side of Hugh Douglas. But we can mess around with you, and we appreciate the websites that he left up.
So if you ask, what is a weekend like for Hugh Douglas? Well, whiskey, toys, and Lithuanian women.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a hat trick right there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, let me tell you.
Sounds like a Tuesday. Mark, how you doing this morning?
Miguel Almiron has not had a hat trick like that.
We actually tried some of the newswomen from, and hold on, I'll get her name right here. Taisha Fernandez, Channel 2, WSB, was in the elevator with us, and they were talking about doing a GoFundMe page.
Uh-huh.
So we brought up, hey, we're trying to do a GoFundMe page. Now, their GoFundMe page a little bit.
It's for children.
Yeah, it was for homeless children and homeless people. And I said, well, our GoFundMe page, we were trying to get Mark Owens to the Rose Bowl.
It's a much more trivial.
They roll your eyes and say, yes, "This is why nobody likes anyone in radio."
Yeah. No, they put you down.
They work in TV.
They just put you down the ladder on the hierarchy. They said that it's a valid, but it just slotted you way down the ladder, like the bottom rung of the ladder.
We're like the jewelry store, the kiosk in the middle of the mall. We're a little bit below that. It'll turn your neck green, but it's fun for a minute.
Yeah, I was going to say, that stuff is gold-ish. You go to sell that 2 weeks later to one of those people that say, we buy gold, they tell you, you bought junk. It's what you bought.
By the way, the Pasadena, get me to the Rose Bowl, GoFundMe. Yeah. Legal said nope.
Yeah.
Legal said DOA? Nope.
Yeah, legal said, it's just a bad look. And we said, but I just want to watch football.
Yeah.
I tried to plead my case, and I said, nope.
Now, hold on a second.
A for effort.
Did corporate attorneys actually use the term bad look?
We actually went to both sides, both the CBS side, our former company owners, and then we went to the Intercom side, our new employers, and they both said no.
So are you serious?
We struck out twice.
I'll be honest. I'm a little upset at the CBS people. What do they care at this point? They sold us. It could be a bad look for them.
We got like 2 weeks left.
Go ahead.
With them, right?
Own you anymore. You do whatever the hell you want.
Do whatever you want. You guys can sit outside and panhandle for all we care.
Hitchhike in one of our station vehicles. I don't care.
You can take a station vehicle. Heck, go ahead and expense it on the corporate car.
You can go get you a Lithuanian woman if you want to in that station vehicle. We don't care.
I would like the official record to show that neither Rick Camlin nor Paul Bible threw our former employees, CBS Radio, under the bus.
Under the bus. I'm just saying, if I was a former owner, I'd be like, do whatever you want. Not our problem anymore. Preacher Man, how you doing this morning? You're hiding out over there.
Well, I'm in my normal spot, just chilling out, relaxing, you know. After last night, it was a interesting evening. I went to my first middle school band concert. Connor was playing. It was actually pretty good. I was impressed. I mean, the kid's never played an instrument in his life. He's only been playing since school started, and they didn't sound half bad. I was impressed. I figured it'd sound like, you know, somebody stringing up some cats.
Did he break out into a triangle solo?
No, he plays the cello. There was no
nice.
It's all string instruments.
Was it a cello solo for him? Like the Geico ad?
He's not there yet.
Okay.
He's still beginning.
I like it though. Up on stage playing music in front of people, the whole thing?
Yeah, gymnasium full. It was like 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and everybody had their shine. The 6th graders were in their spot and they did their thing, and then 7th and 8th graders had their thing. So yeah, it was kind of cool.
You might have a bass player on your hands, Preacher Man.
We'll find out.
Slap in a bass.
We'll see. Because that's what's up.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
They know how to feature their players in their system. You see length at receiver. You see speed at receiver. Slot guys that can maneuver inside. Tight ends who are very good catchers, especially down in the red zone. That's what I see from their team.
That's what you see, and that's why Tampa's been one of the most disappointing teams in the NFL. You got Jameis Winston. You got Mike Evans. O.J. Howard, you draft. Doug Martin, although he's not starting anymore, it's Peyton Barber. I mean, they've got weapons everywhere. You added DeSean Jackson. They just haven't been very good, and now the reports come out that Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter flat out don't like each other, not speaking to each other. Yeah, you know what that means? Dirk Cutter, go ahead and shine up the resume. Go ahead and, you know, maybe get somebody in one of those offices to type you up something really nice to give you the background, because you're going to be looking for another job. Because Jameis Winston, because by virtue of where they drafted him, he's the franchise right now. Dirk Cutter is just the guy calling the shots today. It's sad for them that it didn't work out, but as I love to say, that's a them problem and not so much an us problem.
This, you know, a football tragedy just happened up in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. This is not a football tragedy.
No.
This is a bad hire. And it's ironic because the reason that Tampa Bay hired Dirk Cutter as head coach was because of his relationship with Jameis Winston. And they flourished that first year together. And then now it's dissolving. So I'm not sure the root of it. It's been some bad play by Jameis Winston. It's been some bad play calling and clock management by Dirk Cutter. But look, I've been saying since early this year, Tampa Bay has a head coaching problem. The guy's in over his head. He is not qualified to be a head coach in the NFL. He can be an OC, but not a head coach. And I also read this morning, John, as we continue with What's Up, Gerald McCoy might play Monday night against the Falcons, and then again, he might not. He tore his right biceps in 2011, and he now has a right biceps injury this year that and he said that he played with one arm in the previous game. He may, you know, play the warrior card and play on Monday Night Football. Bottom line is he's not going to be very effective, and he probably will not play, but the door is still open for him maybe to play.
Hey, and that if that happens, obviously changes what you're doing up front, because Gerald McCoy, one of the best in the league. How about this? Shout out to Deion Jones. Debo They just posted this a little while ago. NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his dominating performance against the New Orleans Saints. So, Debo, we have been asking, where's the Deion Jones that we know and love from a year ago? Well, he stepped up huge last Thursday night, and he gets awarded for it.
John, while you were taking relatives to the airport on Monday, I was telling people that Deion Jones needed to be NFC Defensive Player of the Week. It's obvious. What do you have, 13 tackles, the game-winning pick? I think he had two TFLs, and just a great line, man. But you're right, statistically and impact-wise and how many times you hear his name, he hasn't had this game in about 4 or 5 weeks.
A couple other things with what's up. Aaron Rodgers has been medically cleared now by the Green Bay Packers. What's going to be interesting now, are they just putting him back out? Because if you're medically cleared, you can play. He's not a guy that necessarily needs, to go back and learn plays and get a ton of cardio work and all of that stuff. Does Aaron Rodgers start this week if you're Green Bay?
There's no question about it. He's been cleared. He's not going to be quite 100%. But let's throw Ian Rappaport of NFL Network under the bus. You remember yesterday we were talking about his report where he said, it's difficult to predict if Aaron Rodgers will be able to... Dude, the tea leaves have been reading for 3 weeks now that Rodgers was going to be returning in week 15.
Yep.
And so difficult to predict? What are you talking about? But because we follow the play-by-play of a big return with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, we bring you that nonsense to the air. So once again, Ian Rappaport, swing and a miss on a report.
Hey, elsewhere, the winter meetings continue in Major League Baseball. And we'll check in later this week with our own Grant McCauley. Talk to him. He's down there doing a great job. Did you see what the Braves could be interested in acquiring? Well, they're looking potentially for an infielder, potentially Martin Prado to come back and play third base.
Am I all right?
Yeah.
Should I give you a silent check analysis on this one?
I mean, I'm all right with it, dude. That does not move my needle very much. Well, could we get a starting pitcher?
Well,
how about a starting pitcher, a primetime starting pitcher, a veteran who can throw 200 innings and get 200 strikeouts and 15 wins? Could we get that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, when I go through, and Alex Anthopoulos did talk, and he said they're looking to add bullpen help, a starting pitcher, and a third baseman. The only name, though, I've seen attached to the Braves was Martin Prado.
It's an okay get. That's not even a single. That's a base on balls.
Get you on base. That's a base on balls. Did you see what's going on with the Yankees, though? All the people they're involved with.
Yeah.
Manny Machado, they could be in on.
I didn't see that.
Michael Fulmer, they could be in on. Yeah. I mean,
why aren't the Braves in on Michael Fulmer?
I don't know. They're talking about now potentially trading Jacoby Ellsbury to clear some space.
Oh, yeah. He's trash right now for them. They don't need him.
Yeah. But the Yankees are in on everybody. Like, literally everybody. And Manny Machado, they probably won't go get Machado because they've got, I think it's Gleyber Torres down in ready to come up and be their everyday third baseman. But they're making a run. They didn't like finishing second in the AL.
John, chant it with me. Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley. Hawks lose again, and it was a great loss, a thrilling loss, because they took the lead in the lottery standings, John. We now have the worst record in the NBA, and I'm psyched about it.
20 threes from the Cavaliers.
Marvin Bagley.
Why, when they play the Cavs, it doesn't matter. Everybody makes shots for Cleveland. We take a break. We come back. We're going to ask this question. You guys can chime in, 404-741-0929. Carson Wentz is out. Who is now the favorite in the NFC? We'll dissect that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh my goodness, is that a fumble? It is. Trufant's got it at the 10. 5.
Desmond Trufant with the Atlanta Falcons. This is where the Falcons play.
Touchdown, Atlanta.
92-9 the game.
This will not stop me. Going forward, I will come back stronger than ever. I will use this as motivation, and I will be attacking it this whole process as I recover. But at the end of the day, this year, we still have something special. You know, we just clinched the NFC East. That was step one of our goals this season, and we're just continuing on from there. I will be with the team along the way. I will be supporting them. I will be I have the utmost confidence in Nick and the coaching staff and everybody else that they'll step up.
We've got an MVP down. His name is Carson Wentz, and he ain't coming back until 2018. Hello, Rick Kamla, John Michaels. We're in the Kia Studios. This is the Midday Show with Rick and John. And John has cooked up a good one. With Wentz out, who's the team to beat in the NFC? At John Michaels 929, you can get involved. I think he has a poll up right now. But we'll take your calls on this as well. 404-741-0929. Holla at your boys. Who is the team to beat in the NFC now that Carson Wentz is out? I've got my answer.
Who do you have?
The Atlanta Falcons.
Really?
Let me break it down.
Okay.
Philadelphia does not have Carson Wentz. Draw a line through them.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas, I don't think we'll make it.
I don't either.
But we already beat them. Okay, Minnesota is a different animal because they beat us. But I feel like you know, we're not going to play them again and not score a touchdown. And I feel like Case Keenum in a playoff environment, I still don't trust that. Okay, he's been fantastic this year. Can he do it under the stress of a playoff game? Green Bay, first of all, I don't think they're going to make it. Second of all, we beat them with Aaron Rodgers. Detroit, I don't think they're going to make it, and we already beat them. New Orleans, we've beaten them three straight times, John. Carolina, we beat ourselves in that football game. They didn't beat us. We beat us. The L.A. Rams, they have no home field advantage. And, John, to me, they still have another progression to make in big games. They beat New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, and that was a good look. But they lose to Minnesota, and they like scored a touchdown at the beginning of the game with Gurley and then sucked the rest of the game. And, of course, the Rams couldn't beat the Eagles without Carson Wentz. And then you come to the Seattle Seahawks. We beat them. You know what I mean? We've essentially won three in a row against the Seattle Seahawks, right, and we got robbed of a win there last year. So we are better than these teams for the reasons I just described. I think Atlanta is now the team to beat in the NFC.
I love your optimism. I don't necessarily agree. I think we're in the mix to win the NFC. And again, it's going to depend. First of all, you got to get into the playoffs, take care of Tampa on Monday night, and then try to take care of New Orleans and take care of Carolina. If I'm ranking them and I'm taking my Falcon glasses off for a second and trying to figure out, based on where they would be, where you're potentially playing these teams, I still have the Vikings as the favorite. And I agree with everything wholeheartedly you said about Case Keenum. I think there is going to be a point, maybe last week was it against Carolina, where finally the other shoe drops and Case Keenum turns back to Case Keenum. Minnesota right now is on pace. It's either going to be them or Philly with home field advantage throughout the playoffs. You assume with Philadelphia having issues with quarterback, now that Nick Foles is back being your starter, that there's going to be a natural regression for them. That puts me with Minnesota number one, because if Philly somehow gets knocked out, Minnesota could have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and we've seen in the past what that does. Number two for me, and to go back to Minnesota, their defense is rock solid. Number two for me, the LA Rams. I think what you've seen right now with them, defensively, they can get stops when they need. They're not great like we thought they would be, but they are pretty good defensively. Then on the offensive side, with new coach McVay, with our guy Matt LaFleur as the OC, Goff and Gurley and the pieces that they have, they can still put up points. I'd have them number two. Number three for me would be whoever wins the NFC South, whether it's the Saints, the Panthers, or the Falcons. And the reason I say whoever wins, the winner will most likely play a third game against a division foe in the opening round of the wild card. You know what happens if that happens? You're going to see whoever has home field advantage. If Atlanta gets home field advantage against Carolina or New Orleans, we're going to take them. If you have to go on the road to play Carolina or New Orleans, and for any of them, if Carolina has to go on the road to play New Orleans as well, it's going to be tough to win that playoff environment. I put Philadelphia after that. Obviously, they're still going to be in the mix. They've got home field advantage. But it's going to be interesting to me. I've got Vikings, Rams, NFC South, and then Philadelphia as your top teams.
I'm listening to you, man, loud and clear. And with the Rams, see, Atlanta's been there and done that, man. We went to the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're just maturity-wise, development-wise, having most of the holes on the team filled-wise better than the Rams. And we would have to prove that. But let's say we have to go out to L.A. and the Coliseum and play the Rams. You shrug your shoulders about that. That's essentially a neutral site game. Mm-hmm. So that's not really an advantage for the L.A. Rams. And I realize that it's Philadelphia's offense, and right, Philadelphia's offense is elite. They shredded the Rams' defense on Sunday. Shredded it like it wasn't even there. And the Rams have a very good defense, but it's not invincible. And that was a home game, mm-hmm, and a huge game. And they got shredded by the Philly. Trey Burton looked like Russ Francis out there. He looked like Brent Jones. I wanted to give you a couple old school references there. Yeah,
I haven't heard Russ Francis's name since the 80s.
Yeah, how about Dave Casper? I want to give you some old references here. And then the Vikings, you know, think about it. You've got the Case Keenum thing at quarterback, but the Viking defense was ultra soft against Carolina last week. Mm-hmm. Ultra soft. And so there's a crack in their armor with that. It's not like they go into every single game and just shut the other team down. Carolina pretty much did what they wanted to do. Jonathan Stewart, yeah, had three rushing touchdowns in his 10th season in the NFL. We've been shoveling dirt on Jonathan Stewart for 4 years now.
And you got the NFC Offensive Player of the Week this week for having that performance. Carolina's an interesting case study as well. You know, Cam Newton's been to the big game before. Defensively, they can be rock solid. They run it. They're getting healthier at the right time. So we'll see what happens with them. Let's take a call or two, 404-741-0929. With Carson Wentz now out, who is the favorite in the NFC? is it, let's see here, my computer screen's at par in Atlanta. Par, you're first up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. How are you?
I'd rather go for birdie.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, John. Rick, man, keep doing your thing on NBA TV. You're great on there.
Thanks, homie.
I think John, just like you said, I think Carolina. I mean, I think they have the experience. They're under the radar right now, and they're playing well. I mean, and you look at the first three teams you named. Look at the quarterbacks. Now it's Nick Foles, it's Jared Goff, and Case Keenum. I mean, you can't win in the playoffs without having good quarterback play. I mean, obviously the best quarterback of the playoff teams right now is Drew Brees, but I mean, I think Cam Newton makes a difference because I feel like with the way they're playing, with the way things are lining up right now, I think Carolina has what it takes, and I think they're going to come out of the NFC. I really do.
Park, great phone call, and we appreciate you being a fan of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let me hit you with Carolina here a little bit. Mm-hmm. Greg Olsen is back, but not really back. And Ed Dixon is Ed Dixon. He's a second or third string tight end, kind of like our guy Austin Hooper. And then, John, you have the fact that Russell Shepard has not stepped up. Devin Funchess certainly has. Mm-hmm. He's been terrific after the trade of Kelvin Benjamin. Curtis Samuel out. They needed Russell Shepard to step up. He has not. You've got Burson, the long-haired dude that barely plays, special teams guy out there. I just don't think that Cam has the weapons in the passing game. So that to me is a hit against them. Their defense is rock solid. But, John, you can throw the rock on the Carolina Panthers.
You can. There's three teams, and I guess you can now say four or five, depending on who gets in. Green Bay, if Aaron Rodgers is back, you know what they become offensively. And they've kind of made it through the period with him being gone. And if he's back this week, suddenly they could be a team that comes in and snipes one of these bottom playoff spots. They have offense. Seattle, when Russell Wilson is on, can throw it as well as anybody, and his magic in the pocket does what he does. The only other two teams in the NFC, and I guess you could throw Dallas in the mix when Zeke Elliott comes back, if they can somehow sneak into it. But the Rams, the Saints, and the Falcons are the only teams that currently above the playoff line that really have offenses that scare you. Philly, because Nick Foles is out, you don't know what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's a plotting offense that doesn't want to do a ton, and the same thing with Carolina.
Well, I mean, Minnesota, as we've talked about, they take what they give you.
Yeah.
So depending on the coverage that you have, they'll find pockets. They'll maybe shoot digs down the sideline deep. But they're not a provocative offense, okay? They're not a sensational offense. And if you hit Keenum in the mouth, that's the whole thing. If Keenum's comfortable, just about any quarterback in the NFL, if he can just statuesquely
Absolutely.
Stand back there and throw, he's going to light you up. And that's what Keenum's been doing a lot. But if you heat him up, now Case Keenum reverts back to being a backup quarterback. So that if the Falcons get the Vikings, obviously our front four is going to have to do a great job.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a better job than you did in the first matchup where Case Keenum sat back there, got comfortable, and then got hot. And when quarterbacks get hot and all of a sudden they're fitting it into every window, that's where you have a problem. Let's take another call here before we go to break. Let's go to Larry in Decatur. Larry, who do you think is the favorite in the NFC now that Carson Wentz is out?
First of all, salute to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
If I had to call it as of right now, taking a picture right now, I would say Carolina with my dark horse Atlanta. But I'm going to say this. Whoever comes out of the NFC South, I think will be the powerhouse. And I'll tell you why I say that. The level of competition here has kind of hurt the league. Atlanta could have very well beat Minnesota. Minnesota has a good defense, but for all the rah-rah they were talking, I really wasn't impressed. And then Carolina kind of pulled their skirt up last week. You know, so they got exposed. The Saints, not necessarily because they're secondary, they're still young, but Carolina, Atlanta has the wherewithal, and they've been battle-tested enough to get it done. Not really feeling the Rams right now.
Okay. I do call, like Larry. The Rams. I every time I've watched them, they've played well. I know they've lost a game or two. They've got a huge one against Seattle this week. They could do us all a favor and bury the Seahawks.
The Rams, I'm with Larry. I like the Rams. They're ahead of schedule big time. And it's a great story with Sean McVay, the whole thing. I'm not throwing shade, but you look at their resume here, and you lose to the Eagles in a big game. You lose to the Vikings in a big game. You lose to the Seahawks 16-10 in a big game. Early in week two, mm-hmm. you lose to the Redskins in a big game 27-20. Now, big wins for the Rams. They go to Dallas and beat them 35-20. That's a good win. You go to Jacksonville and beat them 27-17. That's their best win of the year. They've got a lot of other wins against lousy teams. So, good team. Give them credit. I would pick the Falcons over the Rams in a playoff game. And that is not a red and black lensed prediction.
I'll be honest. I don't mind taking a trip to L.A. for like 3 days in December or January. I mean, January. That'd be awesome. Not going to be mad at that one at all. Rather have home field, though. We'll take a break. We'll come back. When we get back from the break, slice of life. Our company Christmas party is next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Have Christmas parties become and holiday parties become too PC? The fact that I have to say holiday party kind of answers that question. It's all coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9
The Game.
All right, here we go. It's a holiday edition of the Slice of Life, and it's brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business, because, of course, we're all on a budget in the Christmas season, and you don't want to blow it, you know, because you have other gifts to get, and maybe it's an engagement ring again. Shane Co., we love them. Just recently, I was got my boys all the gear.
Did you?
Yeah, NBAStore.com, NFLShop.com, got her done, man.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, gave them a list. About 10 different items that they could choose from, and they picked three each. And they're on their way up to Minnesota right now.
They'll be happy kids.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. Jay's getting a girly jersey. He's all pumped about that.
Did you get anybody a turnover chain?
No turnover chain. they have not glommed on to the sensation and the revelation that is. But they did watch the Canes beat Virginia with me when they were in town.
Nice.
We had a blast with that game.
Yeah,
we watched the whole game. I thought you guys were going to lose that game.
Yeah, I did too. Man, they did.
but one of the touchdowns should not have been a touchdown. Bankert to that dude on the near sideline in the end zone?
No, it was a touchdown.
You think so?
Yeah, that's not the non-NFL. It wouldn't have been a touchdown because he
didn't. Okay, maybe I'm applying NFL sensibilities to it.
Either way, let's get to the slice of life here. Hey, have company holiday parties become too PC?
Yes.
I heard Mike and Carl.
All right, end of segment. Let's go to break. Let's talk Jacob Eason. Let's go to break.
I heard Mike and Carl talking about this yesterday. They're a little upset because our company holiday party is next Wednesday at 3 o'clock, which means Mike and Carl obviously can't be there, and neither could their show, which is kind of crappy.
Give them the day off for that. Every other company party that I've been here for the 4 years, the afternoon.
Not last year. Oh, no, last year. Because last year they had it at, like, noon, so we couldn't go, nor could Dukes and Bell.
Noon?
It was early.
A holiday party at noon?
Yeah, our holiday party was at some
cockamamie time. That's like a glorified meeting then if you're having it at noon. Give me a break.
So back in the old days, the company I used to work for, our holiday party, a little more risque. They would rent out, you know, let's just say a ballroom somewhere in one of the swanky hotels here. They'd give away some great gifts like door prizes and, you know, they raffle off iPads and vacations and all this other stuff. And it was open bar the entire night. Most people would just stay at, and they normally would have it on a Friday, or they'd have it Thursday, and they'd tell us, we're going to be running radio replay all day on Friday, and just let us recover from our hangovers. And they'd offer discounted rooms and whatnot. I think right now the fear of people getting in trouble at holiday parties is taken to a point where companies don't even want to have them anymore.
I mean, you're right, and that's why people are having holiday parties during the day, and so
on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not about the party. It's not about necessarily the good time. It's about, you know, being with each other, exchanging some conversations, keeping it light, and then keeping it moving. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at. But you know, it's been the failures and the transgressions of bad apples, so to speak, over the years that have put us in this situation. Okay, a lady says no. The boss, you know, doesn't want to take that no for an answer, and trouble ensues. I'm just saying that's a hypothetical type of scenario, but there have been transgressions by people, bosses, non-bosses, that have gotten us to this point where you just shrug your shoulders about a holiday party.
Yeah, I want to go around the room a couple of do's and don'ts for holiday parties. And just say your company actually does something after hours. What are some of the do's and don'ts we want to put together with this? Mark, what do you think about are you going to go to the holiday party next Wednesday?
No, because I have something going on that afternoon. And this is not uncommon. This is the fourth or fifth year that we've done this when we were a part of CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're part of Intercom, I'm thinking next year they may blow it out to be something a little bit bigger. But I think this I think this might have been a CBS thing. Now, I work for a company here in town, another radio company. I will give them credit. Notoriously cheap throughout the year. Skeleton staff, not a very good promotional budget. Nobody made a ton of money, but their Christmas parties were on top. They would get like Zach Brown to come play.
Oh, wow.
Kelly Clarkson to come play. An American Idol, like a legit artist to come play the party. Open bar, open food, the ballroom at the W. You get dressed up. This was almost black tie type of Christmas party. And the funny part is the bosses would walk out on stage who don't know our names. Aren't we the greatest bosses ever? Look what we're doing for you guys for this holiday party.
Hey,
Chief. You are welcome. Hey, buddy, thanks for coming out. By the way, we're going to be reducing staff by 18% on January 2nd, but enjoy your night tonight, fellas. A buddy of mine works for, I think it's also the size of the company. A buddy of mine works for a pet, an extermination company, a bug company. They're having their party this weekend. And the boss tells them and makes them all sign agreements. Says, if I get in trouble, if I get arrested, if I get a DUI, this is not on the company. I'm doing this for you guys. You need to act like adults.
Right.
And if you don't act like an adult, it's not on me. And so he says, now that you've signed this, go have fun. I've given you the rules. Go act like adults.
I like it. Well, and first of all, he has reduced the liability on himself. When we had the lake bash out at our lake for 92.9 The Game personnel and family only, we should have had such a disclaimer. And thankfully,
yeah, but that, somebody put a fence there. And who's going to put a fence in front of a house?
You know, thankfully, there were no problems.
Other than your fence.
But we... And that was fine. I will pay for a fence repair if that's the worst thing that happens. You know, who cares? You can move on with that kind of stuff. But if we decide to have a big old bash once again, there will be liability paperwork for people to sign.
See, I think we should do that before you sell the house. We just do the Kamla blowout party.
So move everything out and just destroy the place, right?
But I'm not saying destroy it. Well, maybe. Once they've signed papers.
Should we go Motley Crue on the boathouse before we get out?
No, because there'll be consequences and repercussions if you do that. Preacher Man, holiday parties. Are you for them, against them? Are you going next Wednesday?
I'm not going to the Christmas party. I am for them as long as you do them in the right way, not at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of us have children to get home to. You know, I'm not going to get a call from DFAX because my child has left home alone because I'm at the Christmas party. That's
nice.
Not happening.
Boozing it up, right?
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, back in when I was in Nashville, I mean, they stopped after a while, but we had some pretty good parties. They would rent out big ballrooms. They would have raffle tickets. They'd give away prizes. I mean, one year I got a freaking laptop.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, so companies used to give huge Christmas parties. I mean, it's good to blow off steam. It's good morale for the for the workers. Everybody gets to hang out. There's no, you know, nobody has to worry about going to work. So why would you have it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? It's just no bueno.
I know we're crapping on our holiday party. It is fun. Like, I often joke with Dutch and I say we're the only company that has a dance circle at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. And there's the booze are flowing and they have some, you know, food available. It's not all doom and gloom. It's just such a random time.
I will not be able to make it. I'll be working at NBA TV next Wednesday afternoon. So, sorry.
I will represent our show then.
Our show will be barely represented.
Although I was called Craig this morning, so I may wear a shirt that says CCV.
Nice. No relation, by the way. So I got to take you guys back to an NBA TV Christmas party or holiday party about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City?
Yeah.
In Manhattan? I've seen the Disco Biscuits there a million times, backstage, the whole thing. NBA TV had a holiday party at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Nice.
They bought it out, and it was ours for a night. How cool is that? Open bar? My God, that's a holiday party. That was a holiday party. A
couple of tweets coming in, and you can text the show as well at 404-741-0929. Eric tweeted me and said, as somebody who just graduated from college looking to become an HR manager, I understand why they would have parties at a bad time. But the point of the party is to motivate employees, and I don't see any motivation coming from that.
Wow, a young, aspiring HR boss. Watch what you say around him.
Yeah, we're Eric.
For the rest of your life.
We love you, but we're not going to say much to you. Here's another one. My wife works for a bank. They just blew out a party in Athens. Open bar, food catered, DJ a dance floor. Great. Actually, it says rad door prizes. It was a ton of fun. Stinks that you guys are getting shafted.
If they gave away huge prizes, you know, $500 gift cards or something, a new PlayStation 4, a new big screen TV, like they had some legitimate gifts for the employees, would you be more inclined to go?
Why can't I got to work.
Okay, let's say work was out of the question.
If work were out of the question, I would go anyway.
Right.
And I'm actually considering maybe doing a swap on a shift next week so I can go to the party, but no promises.
Yeah, I'll be there. What else do I have to do at 3? The wife can pick up Kane because I did ask if spouses were available to come, and they were like, no, this is a company-only party.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
She'll watch the kids for a couple
it's
hours.
A holiday party. Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. That alone lets you know how PC it's become. You can't say Christmas party because you might offend somebody.
I will say working as V103 is our sister station. We do have a DJ just about every event we do. So this is like no other meeting we haven't had.
No.
So it's like we have DJs at, you know, town halls. We have DJs at tailgates.
Speaking of Christmas, coming up next, we did this last year and it was a lot of fun. We're going to break down the bowl games in college football in the most scientific way possible. We'll tell you what the kids are getting in the swag bag, and we'll pick the games from there. That's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Weekday mornings on The Game. It's
my primary project of the day as we hit our college football hour is making all of my bowl picks with the confidence number next to them. I'm kicking around the idea of FAU. I forget who they're playing, but I like them a lot. I may go 41.
Wow.
I may give them a full bowl 41. Games? I think it's 40 or 41. I think it's 41. But anyway, I can't wait to do that, challenge myself, make all the picks in these bowl games with a confidence number on them. John and I are going to be doing some of that on the air with you all tomorrow. How about that?
We are, and I'm again trying to, on this ESPN Fantasy app, set up a group so we can do some juice boxes here. Because we love to have competition here at 92.9 The Game, and yes, we do it in our office, and we have fun, and we talk trash with it and everything else.
Just juice boxes, though.
College football fantasy was a rousing success.
It was a hit, John.
It will be back next year. I'm trying to set up a bowl confidence pool, and I got to get it done today. I tried to, glom it off to Knox, but Knox actually has, work to do. He's got a pad of paper, and Terry grabbed him, and he's got a meeting, and he's got other boss. So I think I'm going to have to take the reins, Rick, and jump on this.
Terry grabbed him? Do we have an HR episode going
on
out there? Do we need to notify Frida?
No. Well, Frida's got her hands full as well. We've got benefits we're trying to get logged into.
By the way, hour and a half on the phone last night.
Really?
Yep.
The benefits
me,
people?
Me and Charity and Randy in the benefits center, hour and a half. And I'm not even, if I don't sound butthurt about it, it's because I'm not. It's like I can either go online and do it, or you can talk about it and vet the whole process with a live human being, and that's what we chose. And it took a minute, but we got it done.
I think I'm going to do the phone call today because the website has been for a while.
Give yourself an hour and a half.
Well, I'll just do it while I'm in the car because I got plenty of time.
Okay.
I'm driving to work. It's not like I have anywhere else to go.
All right,
we did this a year ago, and I want to have some fun with this.
May the force be with you.
Thank you. Are you going to go see that? The new,
see what?
What is it, The Last Jedi?
Probably.
It comes out tomorrow?
I'm going to see it tomorrow night.
Matter of fact, our slice of life tomorrow, that's what we want to do, is movie related. Stuff like that, like the movies,
sure.
The movies that everybody else loves that you just don't get.
I don't really get the Star Wars thing. I'm not mad. I'm not like, oh, you're a Star Wars, Trekkie or whatever the
no,
hell
that's
it is.
Star Trek.
Yeah, I know. I don't hate on those.
That's completely different, and they don't always like each other.
Right.
Really?
And so it's like the
it's Bloods and Crips.
Yeah,
and
pretty much.
The Trekkies and the Star Wars.
How about that? Hatfields and McCoys, the whole thing? Is it that dicey and dangerous?
I don't know if it's that dicey, but some people are Trekkies or, they're Star Wars. It's one or the other. I mean, I can go either way. I enjoy both genres.
Star Trek is stupid. Dude.
But I'll be there Saturday morning.
If I had to choose, it would definitely be Star Wars, not Star Trek.
Star Wars, and it's not even close. Matter of fact, let's put up a Vision Computers Twitter poll. at Rick and John died too. I'm just going to throw stuff at Mark to do.
Well,
how
do we phrase this?
He was already back here typing, though.
Because, John, this isn't really your thing, right? The Star Wars, sci-fi
Here's the thing. I go to Star Wars.
Doesn't feel like your thing.
I go to Star Wars because my son loves it. That's kind of me and his thing. Nobody else in our household likes Star Wars. Or even Julian's like, I'm not. I could give or take Star Wars. So Kane and I will go. I'll probably go Saturday at some point to go with him to go watch Star Wars. Or maybe one day next week once they get out of school. It's a little easier then. He loves it. I watch it because I'm there. I watched it as a kid, but I'm not really into it.
I'm way more, and it's not like I'm into it, but with my boys, we go to see every superhero movie, and I kind of enjoy those. It's action, and I used to have comic books as a kid, but I just can't vibe with the Star Wars thing, man. Just can't do it.
Let's get into our bowl swag bag. We had fun with this last year. Mark Owens, we're going to play some game show music, and we're going to make it gamey, which is typically what we do here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. Mark's going to go through and give us two choices, the swag bag. Rick or I will pick bowl one or bowl two, and then we'll figure out what bowl game they actually are.
Let's do it.
I've looked at some of the swag bags. Some of them are great. Some of them you don't get a whole heck of a lot. So, Mark Owens, without further ado, the floor is yours.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you the swag. You tell me which one you'd rather have. We'll start off with these two. By playing in this game, you're going to get yourself a $400 Best Buy player shopping trip. A Timely Watch Company watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So $400 to Best Buy.
Best Buy and a Timely Watch watch.
Efficient.
Timely Watch Company watch.
Okay. They don't give you much, but it is a nice prize. Okay. Not really.
Or would you rather have
a
PlayStation PS4 Pro bundle,
mm-hmm.
a Fossil watch, or I'm saying this wrong. I know I am. OGIO?
I think it's OGIO.
OGIO backpack. So the PS4 Pro Bundle, the Fossil Watch, and the OGIO Backpack.
What does Pro Bundle mean?
It's got stuff in it. It's bundled.
So does that mean you're getting the PS4 with some stuff?
Nah, I'm not 100% sure.
I'm assuming
the bundle's probably going to include both controllers, maybe a VR headset. I don't know.
So you're not getting the actual unit. You're just getting accessories.
No, you get the unit.
Yep. You do get the unit. Very important you have
that
unit.
It looks like it has the DualShock wireless controller, and you get Star Wars Battlefront Elite Trooper Deluxe Edition.
All right, despite the fact that you get that Star Wars thingamajiggy that you're talking about, I will take that one. I will eschew the 400 and the watch. I will take the other
one. Yeah, I'm going with bowl game number two as well.
All right,
That's because you're looking for that PS4.
Darn right I'm looking for a PS4. Urania, buy it. Stop being a player hater.
Well, gentlemen, you will have a great game at the Fiesta Bowl of Washington and Penn State.
Nice. PS4, that's all you get at the Fiesta Bowl?
Yeah.
That's crap. Yeah. Well, you're the Fiesta Bowl.
Tough economic times, John.
Yeah. Well, they can only have a $500 limit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So all these bowl game gift packs, bags are only $500.
Okay. Or less, right?
$500 or less.
Yeah,
correct.
The max
That's
is
why a lot of them have gift suites where the Best Buy or the Academy Sports or the Dick's Sporting Goods gift suites.
So, wink, wink, you walk in and the Apple Watch is $9.
Yeah. Now, that's $500 for the gift bag. Now, what's laying in your hotel room is the another $1,000
worth pillow
of swag.
And everything. What was the bowl we missed out on?
The $400 Best Buy shopping trip and the Timely Watch Company watch. That would have been the Citrus Bowl, Notre Dame and LSU.
Yeah, I hate Notre Dame, so nobody wants that crap anyway. All right, what's the next two bowl bids up for bid?
Would you rather have a $300 Visa gift card, the Ultimate Ears Wonder Boom Bluetooth speaker, a Fossil watch, and a football.
Okay.
That's all in one bag.
All right.
Or a Fossil watch, a Sony, follow me on this one. A Sony XB95ON1 extra bass noise canceling headphones.
Okay.
Timbuktu backpack.
Really?
A promotional coin. And a $25 Apple iTunes gift card.
The $300 and all the other stuff. That's a no-brainer.
$300 Visa gift card.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Give me
Wonder Boom Bluetooth speaker and the Fossil watch and a official commemorative football.
We're both going with number one.
Well, you don't have to travel very far because that's going to be the Peach Bowl here in Atlanta, Auburn, and UCF. The other one, that's going to be the Foster Farms Bowl, Arizona and Purdue.
Wait, the Foster Farms Bowl? Because I guarantee those Sony headphones are probably like $200, $300 if they're wireless.
Yeah, but they're not Beats.
Sony XB95ON1 extra bass noise canceling headphones.
They're not Beats, though.
They've just said
the
headphones.
Kid's got to have Beats, right? It's all about the brand name for a kid. They're like, it's just headphones. I'll just put on headphones. No, the kids want the Beats.
Those were that was the same model that they used in My Cousin Vinny to figure out the rubber off the tire.
All right, let's
those are XR14 Michelin 75Rs.
That also comes
with white walls.
That's if you do the gift suite through Kaufman Tire.
Right, so that is true.
I got me some
the tire guys and you can trust.
Yeah.
All right, would you rather have the Amazon Echo Show? $175.
Okay, well, I mean, what is that?
The Amazon Echo.
You know, the.
What is
that? Hey, Alexa.
Yeah, play me Disco Sloppy Biscuits.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, so your house becomes wireless and Bluetooth all at the same time. You just speak
Alexa,
to the device.
Wouldn't
that be nice?
Turn the lights off.
You wouldn't know how to work it anyway, Rick.
Dude, the only way we turn out the lights is we still have the clapper.
That's awesome. All right, so what are we getting in this
one? Then his TV goes off.
Amazon Echo Show, $175 Amazon gift card, a Fossil watch, a mini commemorative helmet, Rock'em socks. And a team,
Rock'em socks are awesome. I have about two pairs of those.
And a team panoramic photo.
Yeah, they can keep the damn photo. I got an iPhone. I can take my own picture. What's the other one?
A Yeti cooler and tumbler, a Fossil watch, an Ogeo backpack, a legendary hat, and JBL Flip 4 speaker and a blanket. I'm sold on the blanket. You had me at blanket.
I'm always looking for the cash, and the first one had, what, 175 Amazon? So I'm looking for that cash. I'll take that one.
I could buy Hugh some of his oil off Amazon that he had picked up if I get the Amazon gift card. Yeah, I'm going with the first one as well. I'm with Rick. I want cash and electronics.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, you're going to have a great game if you're Stanford or TCU in the Alamo Bowl.
Nice.
Amazon Echo gift card, Fossil watch. Fossil must have a huge sponsorship with
for
the
real.
NCAA.
Everything's a Fossil watch.
See, I'm surprised you didn't say Yeti cooler.
Let me have a Yeti cooler.
Well, that's because the NCAA is a fossil within itself.
Hey, that
is true.
Good line. No, but John and me are about straight cash, homie.
Yeah. The Yeti cooler and tumbler, and the legendary hat, the JBL Flip 4 speaker, and the blanket. Because all college players want a blanket, right? That would have been the Cactus Bowl, Kansas State and UCLA.
Yeah, by the way, the last Christmas party at the old station, they gave us all blankets.
What the heck do you need a blanket for at the Cactus Bowl? It's going to be 100 degrees, right?
Well, the Christmas party, because half the crew is asleep in the ballroom.
Yeah, that is true.
Over, so just cover yourself up.
So what that was is these are promotional items we hadn't given away, and we're about to go out of business. Here you go.
All right. How about this one? $175 Best Buy gift card.
Okay.
JBL Bluetooth headphones.
Nice.
A life-size fathead decal for each participant of his own likeness.
That's pretty
awesome.
Get
your own fathead.
Do we need to hear more, John? Yeah,
keep going.
Okay, the OGO backpack and a tag. A backpack tag.
Yeah, you need that.
The commemorative mini helmet, a hoodie, workout shorts, winter hat, and vintage football.
Wow. I don't even need to hear the second option.
That's pretty good. That's strong.
Yeah, that's strong.
Okay. How about a gift suite, but it doesn't say where? Ice slides sandals.
No thanks.
A drawstring backpack, a beach towel, and a bowl pen. Oh, yeah. Put that up there with a blanket.
What?
Dude,
what crap is that? Yeah. Is that the Camellia Bowl or something?
No,
it's like the Patriots against the Browns right here.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, that would be the Bahamas Bowl that includes the gift suite, the slide, the sandals, the backpack, the beach towel, and the pen. Now,
the give and take on that is you do get to go to the Bahamas.
Good point, John.
Everybody wins. Gentlemen, for your gift card, the headphone speakers, the fathead, that's going to be the Quick Lane Bowl of Duke and NIU.
Where is that? Is that in Detroit?
Yeah.
They have to give you a great backpack to go to Detroit in mid-December.
Comes with a bulletproof vest.
I almost want to change, go to the Bahamas. I don't care where the gift suite is. Gift suite's over here by the beach, boy.
Hey, God bless everybody up there in Detroit and Michigan, but Detroit's kind of a tough hang in July, let alone January. God bless those people, man.
When we went there in September, I said, if we never have to come back here again, it's too soon.
All right, here we go. One more for you. One more. This one, you could pick up a watch. Mm-hmm. A backpack, warm-up pants and jacket. I thought you'd get that anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
don't you walk into your room?
Yeah, your team supplies you with that.
A dry-fit long-sleeve shirt and a hat. Wow.
Nope.
I don't care what. That's horrible.
A watch, backpack, warm-up pants and jacket, dry-fit long-sleeve shirt, and a hat.
I'm sound asleep.
Yeah, they want you to go work out. I do that anyway.
Well, don't get much better for your other options. Rock'em socks.
Okay.
Under Armour beanie and a backpack.
What?
That's it?
I'll take option number one.
I'm going to go option two because I like the Rock'em socks.
Well, our good buddies down the street, Georgia State Panthers, that's what they're picking up at the Cure Bowl in Western Kentucky. The watch, the backpack, the pants and jacket, and a long sleeve shirt and hat. The Rock'em socks, Virginia Navy. That's the military bowl.
Okay.
Under Armour beanie and the backpack. Boy, that is just not impressive.
Nope, not at all.
You get to play in a bowl game, but
yeah, you would think they would take care of our armed forces a little bit better than that.
We got a few minutes left. I've got some of these pulled up, Mark. I want to go through some to make Rick laugh. First of all, did you know there was a bowl game called the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl?
For real?
That's
the actual name of a bowl? Who's in that one?
Give me a second to look that up. I just got the swag bags pulled up. Here's what you get at the Gasparilla Bowl. You would get a gift suite, an Oakley backpack, and a neck pillow, because who doesn't need a pillow?
You got $10 at the airport, you can get a darn neck pillow. Are you kidding me?
At the airport, those neck pillows are $53.99. Now at Walmart, they're $8. The airport, they're just going to get you. I'm trying to find, where the hell are the bowls? There we go.
I don't know where. Were you in Saudi Arabia paying $53?
Well, I don't ever buy
a neck pillow.
I don't ever buy a neck pillow. I'm trying to look who's playing the Gasparilla Bowl. Oh, this will be rousing. 8:00 on a Thursday night. It's Temple, 6-6 Temple, against the Fighting Butch Davis's Golden Panthers of FIU.
I'm gonna take FIU in that one.
Me too. Big, big confidence points.
I'm gonna take FIU.
All right, let's scroll through some of the other funny bowls here. How about this one? I can't even make this up. The Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
That's the Trey Wingo Bowl.
Yeah, it's FAU is going to be. Lane Kiffin will be there, and he'll get his Cherry Bundy on.
I got a 41 in confidence on that game.
I was actually more of a Kelly Bundy fan than a Cherry Bundy.
Who the heck is FAU playing? Who are they going to kill in that game?
Some slappy.
Is it Akron or something?
Yeah, the fighting
Akron
John
going
Chuckery.
Down. Go Owls.
John Chuckery will be texting us in 3-2-1 anger because he's an Akron alum, I believe.
Hey, shout out to John Chuckery. We love him. John, your team is going to get smoked in that bowl game.
In the Cherry Bundy Bowl, you will get – oh, this is awesome. Online gift suite, assortment of bowl-branded items, and that's it.
Bowl-branded items. Yeah. Blankets and pins.
How about this one? The dollar
– shot glass or something. Oh, wait, they're underage.
Here you go, Rick. The Dollar General Bowl. The Dollar General that, Mall.
That's your favorite store.
$500 worth of Dollar General gear.
Get a lot of stuff.
Like keychains, Smarties.
No, actually, at the Dollar General, no, you do not get Smarties.
You get Smarties in there at all?
You get Laffy Taffy.
Off-brand cola.
You get RC Cola. No, you get the Amazon Echo, Maui Jim sunglasses, Timely Watch, and a Wilson football.
Did you just say RC Cola? Dude, they used to have the cans with the baseball player, like Johnny Bench and Pete Rose on the can. I love those cans. I used to drink the crap out of RC Cola.
All right, for the Rose Bowl, here's what Georgia would get. A gift suite, a Fossil watch, an OGO book bag, a New Era 950 snapback adjustable hat. That's not a whole lot to play in the Rose Bowl. And then Miami down at the Capital One Orange Bowl, Nevin Shapiro suite. You get a gift suite. You get a Turno watch, Life brand hat. Yeah, get in there, DJ. And an ice shaker water bottle with a shaker cup. That's crap.
How do you not get a turnover chain?
Right.
It's a part of that package.
And somebody was just cleaning out their closet and said, give this to the kids.
I'll be honest. I'd take the Life brand hat. DJ Williams has some.
Do they have, like,
stuff.
Rihanna's first album that they can throw there? Like, the demo that she, you know, that throw that in the bag as well.
Throw in some Miami Sound
Rihanna's
machine.
Demo.
Here's a Blink-182 signed poster in our promotional closet.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk some actual college football. I got a hypothetical out there. We're going to do this for a couple of segments. Would Georgia be in the Final Four if Jacob Eason was still the quarterback? Let's break that down next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we are back on the Midday Show with Rick and John here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You have found our college football hour. And we're excited about this topic right here. We're going to carry it over to our next segment, which is our college football cheat sheet and the question of the day. Would the Dogs be in the Final Four if Jacob Eason was the quarterback all season? No. Hell no. Bleep no. Impossibility. Jake Fromm is a lot better than Jacob Eason. I told you that after the G-Day game. Nobody wanted to listen to me. And we saw how it played out, man. So, John, as this segment goes on, we want to take calls. 404-741-0929. Dog fans, woof, woof, let's talk. Would the Dogs be in the Final Four if Jacob Eason were the quarterback? John, in a minute, I want to take you through some of the notes that I took while watching the G-Day game. And they're kind of eerie in terms of what I wrote back in March or whenever the heck it was and what we saw this season from Jake Fromm.
Hey, you know, to me, it's pretty simple. I've been a guy that was hard and fast, that it was pretty simple that you do not lose your job via injury. And I would always go to that, and if I were running a team, that would be the way that I would approach things. Obviously, this scenario played out completely different. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I was wrong. The take I had 4, 5, 7, 8 weeks ago, it's wrong. Georgia would not be in the college football playoffs if Jacob Eason was a quarterback all year. And here's what I want to say about this. People are going to say, well, you know, his sample size was very short this year. And that is true. And he may have improved. That is also true. But what I saw a year ago and in the limited time that he had this year, this team would not have made the move that they did with Jacob Eason. Jake Fromm offered the ability to run the football. He offered the ability to push it down the field accurately, get it to receivers. Sometimes it was a jump ball scenario, but he put his receivers up to bat and gave them chances. I haven't seen that from Jacob Eason.
Well, Jake Fromm is one of the best back shoulder throwers I have seen. He is one of the best sideline throwers I have seen. And I'm not the only one saying this. Gary Danielson is saying the same thing. And I'm talking about, like, in all of the college that I have watched, he is that good. Let me take you to my spring notes, and we're going to take your calls here. Would the Dogs be in the Final Four with Eason? 404-741-0929. All right, spring notes. Eason missed two throws on first possession. Eason looks as heavy-footed and immobile as last year. He's a sitting target in the pocket. If the line doesn't protect, the play is over. Let's move on here. It says Jake Fromm looked like a vet on the first possession, felt pressure and reacted, quick lob pass in the flat over a defender, awesome third down pass. Let's scroll down here a little bit. Eason showed nice touch and timing on a seam route to Nauta, but it was incomplete. Let's cruise down here a little farther. Fromm, 42-yard TD pass to Holloman, great timing, touch, and accuracy on the throw. Next note, Eason feels pressure, gets flustered, and the play dissolves. Where have we seen that before? Mm-hmm. Eason overthrows Werner on a deep ball, picked nicely by Aaron Davis, who made a great play on the ball. Now listen to this. Fromm, awesome, long, cross-field sideline throw to Holloman, great hands catch. Did we not see that all year from Jake Fromm? Kind of think we did. Stanley, bad drop on a nice long throw by Eason. Fourth and 10. Eason rolls right, guns a throw to Godwin for first down. Great decision by Smart for Eason's confidence to keep drive moving. Leads to a field goal. Remember, Fromm in the red led Eason in the black 14-6 at halftime. Second half notes. Fromm head drops by Harrison Simmons on first drive of second half. Eason, laser beam 33-yard TD pass to Stanley, and it says here, John, who didn't drop it with exclamation points. A little comedy here in my notes. Eason showed what he can do with protection. Next note, Eason with great pass to Godwin for long gain, but then Eason makes a terrible pass on third and four, and they have to kick a field goal. Fromm, nice slide right and long ball to Simmons, who redeemed the earlier drops with an amazing catch for a 70-yard touchdown. Fromm, quick dart to Holloman for two-point conversion, 22-16 lead. Fromm moves very well in the pocket. These are my notes from the G-Day game. We're talking about Fromm versus Eason, and would the Dogs be in the Final Four with Eason? Both of us say no. Fromm moves very well in the pocket, makes quick decisions, ball out quickly, accurate throws. Seems like he had a firm grasp on the offense already. Does that sound like what we saw all year from
Absolutely.
Jake Fromm? Again, I wrote these notes during the G-Day game. It says here, bottom line, Eason has a stronger arm, but Fromm is a better playmaker. Eason to Godwin for a long gain. Eason TD pass to Werner was a bullet, but bad tackling allowed the score. PAT missed. We're tied 22-all. Fromm to Simmons, nice grab. Fromm takes sack, setting up 4th and 12. Now get this, you may recall this, 4th and 12, Fromm throws a laser beam between two defenders to Hardman for 29 yards to the 13-yard line, field goal, and the lead. Now let me fast forward to 3rd and 17 as Eason is trying to drag his team up the field for the, either the game-tying field goal or a game-winning touchdown. 3rd and 17, Eason holds the ball too long, throws incomplete. 4th and 17, Eason throws long and out of bounds. You remember that down the far sideline? Mm-hmm. And it says here, bottom line, Fromm made a game-winning play. Eason did not. And I'd cap it off. In my opinion, this should be a wide-open QB competition without any bias based on experience, game on. And as you recall, that's what I came to you on Monday after the G-Day game. But a lot of the notes and a lot of the observations I made at the G-Day game, we saw it all year from Jake Fromm. He is obviously the better quarterback than Jacob Eason. It's not a comparison.
What I'll go back to is pretty simply your second game on the road against Notre Dame. And I know Jake Fromm did not play tremendous in that game. Made a couple of plays. The defense really won you the game. But the offense didn't put them in enough harm's way where the defense had to come up with more stops than they did. I looked at a kid that took the team and the team took to Jake Fromm. It would have been easy to, you know, the separation of this was our guy a year ago and Jacob Eason and some of the upperclassmen. This is my last chance at Georgia. I want to win these games, and now we got a true freshman. It seemed like they rallied around Jake Fromm literally from the first drive that he had against Appalachian State. Wasn't it a 0-0 game when Jacob Eason got hurt, if I remember correctly? And then, boom, immediately Jake Fromm marches them right down the field, and they go out and they score a touchdown. And from there, there's been no looking back.
And in terms of your opinion that a starter should not lose his job due to injury, I always said on that, to me, it's case by case. It's just the flow of the team, you know, the talent of the particular quarterbacks in question. I don't have a hard and fast rule on that. Sometimes I would say that the quarterback should not lose his job due to injury, but there's got to be a wide gap between the starter and the backup. That wasn't the case with Eason and Fromm. And I detected in the G-Day game that Fromm was better than Eason, and we saw that play out all year. But, John, if Jake Fromm had transgressions and regressions and losses, I would, and I said this all along, then I would be okay with them flirting with the idea of Eason or going back to Eason. Mm-hmm. But as long as Fromm is playing well and the team is winning, you have to ride that train. Yep. You just do. Minnesota's doing it with Case Keenum right now. Teddy B is ready to play. Now, is he ready to lead a playoff team in terms of effectiveness? I don't know that. But physically, health-wise, he is ready to play. But Minnesota is riding with Case Keenum because they're winning with him. It's a very, very similar situation. But we want to talk to the people, man. 404-741-0929.
Let's go to the phones. Jabril's in Stockbridge. He'll lead us off. Jabril, do you think the Dogs would be in the playoffs if Jacob Eason was the full-time guy?
Not only would they be in the playoff, they would win the whole playoff with Eason. Fromm is a good quarterback, but Eason already showed last year he can make the NFL throws. He made game-winning throw against Missouri. He made a would-be game-winning throw against Tennessee if it wasn't for, you know, a little special teams error by Georgia. With Eason, that offense really has no flaws. With Fromm, once that team starts trailing and the running game is non-existent, he's not going out there making plays on his own. Eason already showed his playmaking ability. So, yeah, to answer your question, I feel like they're better off with Eason, and I feel like in the playoffs, it would show that Fromm, at this moment, he is not ready to put the team on his back in those late game moments when they're going to need excellent quarterback play. So this is where I stand.
Jabril, thank you for the phone call. I really thank you for the phone call. I mean that sincerely. I could not disagree more with your takes right there. The you mentioned two throws that Jacob Eason had last year. Mm-hmm. Two. There were a million other failures and business decisions and throwing it out of bounds when just a quick little rollout on a third and four would get you the first down. You can't run the read option plays with Jacob Eason. He can't make plays with his feet. When the play breaks down, the play is dead. Fromm can keep it alive. I mean, give me a break. And the two throws that Jacob Eason had that Jabril is talking about was against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I'm not impressed. This is not a play against one of the big boys. And against Missouri. So congratulations. You played a full SEC season and you had two kick-ass throws against, you know, lousy teams or lousy defenses. So I'm not impressed, man, but Jabril, appreciate the call.
Yeah, I don't agree with what he was saying. Here's what I will agree. The portion that Jabril brought up, Jacob Eason is probably, if you just do eye test, stand there and make throw here, there, there, and there. Pristine conditions, you know, the tires 38 yards down the field on a deep out route, like a super deep out route, and he can make those throws. But in game situations, Jake Fromm has proven this year that he's much more accurate. He's much more poised. Yeah, they lost a game at Auburn. He turned around and got get back against that same Auburn team right here in Atlanta, and that's why Georgia's going to the college football playoffs. I think Georgia would have been a two, maybe three-loss team if Jacob Eason's your starting quarterback. I think they lose to Notre Dame. They still lose to Auburn. Maybe they go 10-2, but they're not winning, and they're not going to the playoffs the way they are right now.
The one tentacle that I will dance on that Jabril put out there is Jake Fromm, gun barrel in his mouth, down four, late fourth quarter, and against Oklahoma. Can he get that done? Will he get that done? That, to me, is the last threshold, the last obstacle.
Right.
But I can tell you this, Fromm's leadership, his overall ability, the fact that he gives you something with the feet, I would have a lot more confidence in Jake Fromm to lead a 75-yard drive deep in the fourth quarter to win than I would Jacob Eason. Because again, if you pressure Jacob, John said it. If Jacob Eason has a clean pocket and he's throwing darts, he's fantastic. Every quarterback is. But what happens, guys? You get pressure. There's breakdowns. There's leakage. There's a guy coming through the A gap. There's a guy breaking through on the edge. Quarterbacks just can't stand there unfettered and throw the rock.
Yeah.
So, and that's where Jacob Eason's shortcomings really become evident to me.
The last thing you want is leakage. Leakage in the pocket is not good.
Or in your diaper. You just don't want leakage.
You don't need that. Next thing you know, it's coming out an arm or something, and you got to clean all that up.
Or down your leg.
It's pretty bad. Let's take another call here at 404-741-0929. Actually, we'll do that on the other side. We'll continue this conversation next during our college football cheat sheet. It's pretty simple. Jake Fromm, without him, is Georgia going to the college football playoff? We continue to debate that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, it's the College Football Cheat Sheet, and it's interactive. I would say we want your calls, but I'm not even going to give the phone number right now because we have a full bank of calls, and we're going to bring you all on right now. Would Georgia be in the Final Four if Jacob Eason was the quarterback all season? I say no, emphatically. John says no. Just ask damn good dog Tony Schiavone, and he did not think that they would be in the Final Four with Jacob Eason. So let's go to Mark Owens, the president of the Midday Show, the de facto head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, Mr. Glass Half Full. I could go on and on and on with your monikers. Do you agree with John and I and Tony?
As a good president, as a good leader of the people, I'm going to stay split right down the center.
Stop it.
You want to hear who my MVP is for the 2017 Georgia Bulldogs season?
Roquan Smith.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's not Roquan, not Chubb, not Fromm, not Sony Michel. My MVP is Jacob Eason.
I thought you were going to say Rodrigo Blankenship.
And I will give Jacob Eason credit. To answer your question, I mean, I've been weighing on this one, and I wish I could give you a yes or no answer. I don't know. I don't know because there's such a culture change within Athens and what Kirby's done to the team. Yes, the G-Day game was not a very good appearance for Jake Eason, but I don't know what he would have done the rest of the season. Our sample size wasn't big enough. I think there are so many tools, there are so many units available for Jake Eason, I think we would have had an amazing season. But I can't say there's no way that under Kirby Smart's leadership, with Swift, with Chubb, with Sony, with Roquan, we would not be in the same position that we're in right now. I can't say that we wouldn't be.
To me, it's very simple. You What do you think, John? 20% of the playbook is dead with Jacob Eason?
No.
And 20% of it comes alive with Jake Fromm, the ability to do RPOs, to do read option plays?
Yeah, I think the playbook's open. It's just not as effective. You're still going to run
But you
stuff.
Can't run those plays with Jacob Eason.
You can.
You cannot run a read option with Jacob Eason.
We also rank.
They're going to crush the running back every time. They're not going to honor Jacob Eason keeping the ball.
We're 14th in the SEC in passing. I mean, and Eason had a better arm than Fromm. So I don't know. I don't know what could have happened. That's like, could have said, what happened if I married my high school girlfriend? I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Well, we'd be divorced.
In terms of who has the stronger arm, just basically, it's Jacob Eason. Who has the better strong arm to the sideline to make those really tough throws? It's Jake Fromm.
The reason I said he was my MVP is that I'll give him credit for this. Who was the biggest cheerleader on the sidelines all season? This was Jake Eason's
season. Wasn't it you?
Season. Sidelines. I'm up in the nosebleeds. On the sidelines, Jake Eason was the biggest Bulldog fan out there. Every shot you see of Sony running down the sidelines about to score a touchdown, Eason's got his hands in the air, grinning ear to ear. Him and Fromm are talking the entire game. Eason could have very easily shelled up. He could have sent some kind of passive-aggressive, cryptic tweets like, oh, I'm going to miss wearing red and black, or hey, I can't wait to play football again out in Washington, or oh, what a season this could have been. He was still a cheerleader for the Bulldogs. What's he going to do next year? He's probably gone. Let's be honest. He's going to sit out a year and go play somewhere else. And I get that. But he was still a damn good dog on the sideline.
Hey, John, your boy M.O. wants to give Eason the MVP of the Year award for being a cheerleader on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Do you see where we've come to?
Yeah,
do you see where we've degenerated to?
Thought I was going to be a mental patient when Miami was good this year. Look at this crazy guy.
I'm not saying everybody else didn't have a banner season, but if it comes to the guy that he could have been, this was his team. This was his team. And an injury, we see where we're at now, but I will give him an MVP because he was still a cheerleader.
M.O., I love you.
That's not taken away from anybody else. But
I love you. I disagree. I know they're your squad, but I disagree. Hearing Kirby Smart talk to us when we were at Radio Row in Houston, it did not sound like this was Jacob Eason's team. It sounded like it was becoming Jake Fromm's team. Am I wrong about that, John?
No.
Wasn't that the vibe you were kind of getting from Kirby as well? Just saying, M.O., love you, but I had a different read on that.
Let's go to the phones. Go to David and Conyers. David, what do you think? Fromm, in the playoffs, would Eason have led the team the same way?
Man, let me say this first, man. You guys have some great analysis because I straight called with a chip on my shoulder halfway listening to y'all analysis. I'm like, yeah, they got a good point there. but man, I'm with Mark, man. Dude, that's not a fair question to ask, man. But I tell you what you swayed me, honestly. The intangibles, man. Like, you guys are closer to them, so I respect your analysis on the G-Day game. And that sounded great, man. If you see some intangibles in the guy, I'm all for it, man, because when it's pristine and you in the laboratory, man, everybody looks great. But, man, when that pocket's breaking down and all hell's breaking loose, that's who the real quarterback is going. Oh, that's when the real quarterback's going to show up. So, man, I'm kind of leaning with you, man. Maybe this guy's got the intangibles that I just don't get to see up close and personal like maybe you guys do.
Appreciate it, David.
Amen, David. Great call.
Let's take another one. Let's go to Aaron in Sonoya. Aaron, what do you think?
I don't think that Jacob Eason would have taken us anywhere. And I don't think, you know, I think Marco was a little bit wrong. This was not his team because the reason I say that is because the offense, as soon as Jake Fromm stepped on the field, the offense responded so much better to Jake Fromm versus Eason. And I'm an Alabama fan. My wife is a diehard Georgia fan, so I have to watch all these games. And last year watching Eason was just so frustrating.
Hey, Aaron, you do realize that it's going to be a house divided, right? The Dogs are beating the Sooners. The Tide's beating the Tigers. And it's going to be a house divided, bro. Can you handle that?
I went through it in 2012, man. So I kind of got my game face. And, you know, if the Dogs won it all, I wouldn't be upset, man. It's been a long time coming. And my wife, I'm just so tired of watching, you know, her get so close and then, it, you know, they fall in their face. So when they won in Atlanta, I was really happy. I was happy for those guys.
Appreciate the call. I don't agree with you with house divided on that one. I just shook my head.
You think Clemson's going to beat Alabama?
Yes.
Give me Nick Saban with a month to prepare.
Mm-hmm. Give me Dabo Sweeney with better talent.
I'm not sure they have better talent. Quarterback. Alabama's going to be healthier.
Oh, yeah, they are. No doubt about it. I'll take Clemson.
Okay. Do it. Juice boxes?
Yeah, we can put 20 on that one.
Preacher man, here we go. I got John Michaels on the hook for another juice box agreement.
You can have boy, Jalen Hurts, at quarterback in a big game.
Y'all can't ever get mad at me for going to Vegas. You've made more juice box bet in 48 hours than I made my entire 3 days in Vegas.
You know what stinks? We just end up splitting. I win one, he wins one.
That's kind of how it goes.
We're not really getting anywhere with this. Let's go to Anthony in Decatur. Anthony, would Eason have led him to the promised land?
I'm going to say this like this. No. You look at the last few years of the college football playoff, Lunez has been a Tom Brady-style quarterback at 1-5, ranked 1-5 on any team. You need that mobility. You need those added intangibles, because when you're facing those powerhouse defenses, the offensive line is going to break down. It's not if, it's when it's going to break down and how these quarterbacks are going to react. And there hasn't been a champion without a mobile quarterback in I don't know how many years. And I'm going to give Rick 10 more juice boxes after that, John Michaels. I got it.
All right. Hey, let me great call there. Thank you, my friend. Let me just take you to the semifinal game, Georgia-Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Jake Fromm is going to get busy on read option runs if he wants to. I promise you the Oklahoma defense is going to be geared up for Chubb and Michelle and Swift. And if Fromm puts it in their belly and pulls it out and goes right off the right edge or right off the left edge, there's going to be big chunks of yardage there. You heard it here first.
Let's take another one here. Let's go to Alex. He's driving around the great city of Atlanta. Alex, would Jacob Eason have led them to the promised land?
Absolutely not. I think, you guys won 12-1. The question should be, would Jacob Eason made it a perfect season? That's not unfathomable at this point. So I guess I have a question for you guys, though. You know, we were playing the Sooners. What happens if something happens with Fromm? Do you guys comfortable with having Jacob Eason in there, or do you give Brian Ramsey a shot at it? I mean,
whoa.
I'd rather have Jalen Ramsey play quarterback.
I'd rather have John Michaels spinning the rock than
I'd rather
Bryce
have
Ramsey.
Bryce Brown, who used to play at Tennessee, playing quarterback. Oh, no, Jacob Eason gets his shot.
Whoa. Now, if God forbid something happens to Fromm and Eason has to take over, I'm worried as hell that he's going to be rusty and out of rhythm and all that kind of stuff. Hey, John, quickly, I want to tell the people about College Football Game Time presented by Bud Light. Saturday at McRae's Tavern in Smyrna, McMichael, Chuckery, go forth 11-3. College Football Game Time presented by Bud Light.
Should be a lot of fun. Do we have time to squeeze in one more? We will. Let's go to Dan in Marietta. He's got the last word on this. Dan, would Jacob Eason have led them to the promised land?
I'm going to give you guys a hard maybe. And I say that, hear me out, because so many different aspects of our team has improved. Our offensive line is much better, which has encouraged our offensive coordinator to run the ball a lot more. Our defense is much better. That being said, I do think Fromm is a much better quarterback. My only really criticism against Fromm is that his pocket presence isn't really there yet. He spent too long time when the pocket collapses and took a lot of sacks he didn't really need to in Auburn. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
I mean, boy, was that a harsh, nitpicky criticism right there. I mean,
it was
spot on in the Auburn game, but my God, let's focus on all the stuff he did well all year. And by the way, I don't really think there was a single Bulldog that played up to his level against Auburn the first time.
No, but they did in the second time, and that's why they'll be playing Oklahoma.
MVP. MVP.
Roquan
MVP.
Smith.
MVP.
Take a break. We'll come back. He's the MVP around these parts. If not, he'll just punch you in the head. It's Dave Archer. Coming up next, we're going to break down the Falcons as we're in the playoff stretch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.